Colgate Tooth Powder presents the Theater of Romance. Tonight, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you The Informer. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite players and your favorite stories, motion pictures, and plays.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night.
Now for tonight's play, The Informer, with Ed Begley as Gippo Nolan. This story, The Informer, comes from those days when rebellion was writing the headlines in Ireland. It's the story of Gippo Nolan, a big, stupid hulk of a man who had been cast out of the party by his fellow patriots because his constant blundering had endangered all their lives. Our story begins in Dublin. The night was midway evening and midnight, enshrouded with fog as Gippo wandered desolately down the street. He was hungry for food and hungry for companionship, and miserably without hope of either one. As he slouched along, a poster caught his eye. He stopped to read it.
£20 for information regarding Frank McPhillip. Wanted for sedition against the Crown.
£20 for Frank McPhillip. A fortune to a man with empty pockets. He began to wonder half-heartedly where Frankie was. They'd been pals once when Gippo was still in the party.
Oh, well,
he hadn't seen Frankie for months. Fat chance he'd have of claiming the reward. He went on down the street, and he hadn't gone more than a few feet when he met the prettiest girl in Ireland, and the only girl in Ireland as far as he was concerned.
Hello, Gippo. I was looking for you. Where have you been?
Hello, Katie. I've been around. Just around.
Patrick O'Toole's playing his fiddle. Wouldn't you like to stop and listen? I know he'd like to see you, Gippo.
No, I'll just walk along. You look worried, Katie. Is anything wrong?
No, nothing but the same old things. The rent's due again and I don't have it. Oh, Gippo, sometimes I get so frightened. Here we are at the marrying age and a little past it and no hope at all of doing anything about it. I wished you could get a job.
No one will have me.
Look at that steamship ad there in the window. For £20 you can sail to paradise, it says. Gippo, where do little people ever get £20?
£20? If we had £20, we could get married, couldn't we?
We could go far away from here and start all over again. Oh, Gippo, wouldn't it be like heaven, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it sure would.
£20. £20 that would take him and Katie to a new place where the neighbors would trust and like Gippo Nolan, where he could put his shoulders back again and look people straight in the eye. £20. £20. £20. And later, sitting alone by the riverbank, the £20 materialized and came up and spoke to him.
Hiya, Gippo.
Huh?
Why are you staring at me like that? Don't you know me, Gippo? It's me, Frankie McPhillip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. I know you. How are you, Frankie?
I'm fine. Why are you staring at me like that, Gippo? Anything wrong?
Oh, no. Nothing at all. You come at me so sudden-like.
I guess I'm getting a little jumpy. Right now there's a price in my head. 6 months is a long time, boy, to be on the run, sleeping out in the fields. Freezing cold and no decent grub. I said to myself I'd just sneak into town to see my mother and then duck out again. Here I am. How's everything with the party, Gippo?
I don't know, Frankie. I was thrown out.
What for, man?
It was the tan that killed Quincannon. We drew lots for it, and I got the short match. Well, I took him out in a lorry, and he begged for his life. Frankie, I just couldn't do it. Not in cold blood. Besides, he swore he'd desert if I let him go.
Ah, you believed him. What did Commandant Gallagher say?
He near had me plugged when I went back to report. Then they threw me out of the organization. Now the British think I'm in with the Irish, and the Irish think I'm in with the British. The long and short of it is that I'm going around starving, without a dog to lick me trousers.
Ah, you poor fathead. To think of the jobs we pulled off together and the scrapes we came through. We made a great pair, Jippo. Your muscle and my brains. Now we get in a tight place. It was me that formed the plan, remember? Ah, the minute I leave you, you get into trouble. Man alive on your brain. Jippo, it's your help that I'm needing now. I looked up the first thing to find out if the parents are still watching the house. You're the only man I trust.
There's no guard. There's been none since Christmas.
Ah. Well, then I'm off. If I get a chance to see Gallagher, I'll see that you get reinstated. See you later, Jim.
I want to see the officer in charge here.
I'm the officer in charge. What can I do for you?
I've come to claim the £20 reward for Frankie McPhillips.
You know where he can be found?
I know where he can be found.
All right. Give us your information and wait here. I'll send some men right out, and if we capture him, you'll get your £20. Yes? You found McPhillip? What happened? Oh, he's dead. I understand. He ran away from his mother's house, and you had to shoot. Philip is dead, Nolan. Come with me. I'll see that you get your £20. He walked out into the quiet Dublin streets, clutching his £20. And suddenly he was running in nervous haste without knowing what it was he was running from. His forehead was beaded with fear. He darted into Ryan's pub like a hunted thing, his eyes wild.
Give me double whiskey. Hurry, man, hurry.
Katie found him there half a bottle later.
Hello, Jippo. I've been looking for you.
Hello, Katie. Sit down.
Well, look at you. An hour ago, you hadn't a penny to warm your pocket, and now you got your own bottle sitting on the table. Did somebody die and leave your pot of gold?
What are you saying that for?
Or did you rob a church or what?
No, it wasn't no church. It was a sailor. Yes, the sailor.
Oh, Jippo.
Don't you say a word of it, or you'll get me into trouble.
Who, me? Well, what do you take me for, an informer?
What are you talking about informing for? Who's an informer?
Jippo, you're hurting my arm.
You've got no right to be talking like that to me. I'm no informer.
Of course you're not, Jippo. I was only teasing you. Come on, let's get out of here. Come along up to my digs and we'll sit and talk by the fire a bit.
No. No, I can't do that, Katie. I've got to pay a call.
At this hour?
Yes. A friend of mine died tonight. I've got to see his mother.
He couldn't have told you what it was inside him that was driving him to Frankie McPhillip's house. He just knew he had to go. And so at last, he stood in that house of mourning.
I'm sorry for your trouble, Mrs. McPhillip.
What are you shouting for, ma'am? When there's a wake going on.
Oh, let him alone, Barty. He was a friend of my dead boy's.
Then he might show a little respect for the dead.
I swear before Almighty God that I want him to keep away from this house.
Good heavens, man, you needn't carry on like that. Nobody suspects you.
Of course they don't, Chippo. You and Frankie were great friends.
Mrs. McPhillip... You've always been good to me. I'm sorry for your trouble. I have a little money.
He dropped a few pieces of silver in Mrs. McPhillip's lap and turned and fled through the door. Two members of the Irish party stared after him, their mouths tightening a little, and then, as of one accord, started running after him. They caught up to him in the street.
Man alive, what are you hurrying for?
Who's in a hurry? And if I am, what business is of yours?
Oh, come now, don't be so unfriendly, Jippo. You was once one of us, so to speak. You don't seem to be in any need of money tonight, Jippo.
And if I'm not, what of it?
No reason. I was just calming.
You're a liar. You suspect me, both of you. You think that I'm the informer. Oh, well, I know you're Bartley Mulholland and Tommy Connors. You're Commandant Gallagher's right-hand man, and
I'll... Shut up, man, are you mad? Someone's sure to hear you.
And don't be accusing me.
You'd better come along with us, Jippo. Commandant Gallagher wants to see you.
Well, he's not going to see me.
Oh, come on, man. Not going to eat you? You're not afraid of him, are you?
Afraid? Me? No, of course not. I'm not afraid of any man that was ever born.
Then come along.
Sure. Sure, I'll come along. I'll show you that I'm not afraid.
Hello, Jippo. Sit down. You don't seem to be glad to see me.
I'm not Commandant Gallagher.
You have a grudge against me. Why?
And why shouldn't I have?
You had me expelled from the organization.
You disobeyed orders, Gippo. You endangered the organization. You had a fair trial. We'll forget that for the moment. Now, we've got something on hand now that's as much your business as ours. Frankie McPhillip was your pal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I want you to help us, Gippo. It looks like an informer's job, and we've got to get that informer, do you understand?
Yep.
We can't fight a traitor in our own ranks. The man who knew about Frankie knows enough to send us all to our death. An informer has got to be wiped out like the first sign of a plague. And it's up to you to give us a hand in finding the traitor who sent your friend to his death.
And why should I do anything for you? I've been starving for the last 6 months. I've been kicked around this town, and every one of you fellas passed me by without a word, as if you never knew me. I've been living from hand to mouth on whatever I could borrow off sailors and dockers. No one will hire me. I got no clothes. I got no money. I got nothing.
Now look here, Gippo. I'm going to make a fair deal with you. Last October, you put us all in a very dangerous position. Well, we'll call that quits and reinstate you on one condition. That you find the man who informed on Frankie McPhillip.
You mean that?
I mean that.
Then I'll tell you who informed, Commandant. It was that rat Mulligan.
Mulligan? Why do you say that?
Because I know he had a grudge for Frankie and for his whole family. Besides, tonight I seen him going into the town's headquarters.
What time?
Oh, I'd say about 6:30. You take me back now, Commandant?
If your statement checks up, you'll get back. There'll be a court of inquiry tonight at 1:30 at the ammunition dump. Be there, Gippo.
I'll be there, Commandant.
All right, Gippo. You can go now.
Thank you. Thank you, Commandant.
Send Bartley in on your way out.
Yes, sir.
Bartley, I want you to keep a Gippo's heels all even like a pot of glue and don't let him see you. Find out everything you can and bring him to the ammunition dump at 1:30 sharp.
You think he's the informant?
I don't know. I don't see how he could be. He was Frankie's friend and he had no motive. But you trail him. Find out exactly how much money he has in his pockets. Let me know what he spends.
Yes, sir. Anything else, sir?
Well, if you know any prayers you might say a few of them. The whole cause is at stake tonight.
In just a moment, we will bring you Act Two of The Informer. But first, young lady, remember this method from Colgate Tooth Powder. It's true a shapely girl may attract a man who is interested in figures. But if a little breath of trouble catches up with her, well, she can rate her charm at zero. Yes, that breath of trouble, unpleasing breath, has ruined many a romance. So ask yourself, could you be the victim of a little breath of trouble? Has it marked you down socially? Happened to thousands without their knowing. So just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name. Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder. Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the second act of The Informer with Ed Begley as Gippo Nolan. In some ways, it was the most magnificent evening in Gippo's whole life.
Yeehaw!
He had a fortune in his pocket, and he'd been accepted back into the organization. He was a king and a conqueror and the greatest fellow in the world.
Yeehaw!
Set up drinks for everyone in the house. Here's the money. Set him up.
He went from bar to bar, restaurant to restaurant.
Here's a pound for you, my good friend, from Gippo Nolan.
God bless you, Gippo Nolan.
Many a person that had never seen Gippo before and never would again would remember him the rest of their lives. Take the girl he met in a pub known as Aunt Betty's.
Oh, here now. Why are you sitting all by yourself in the corner crying?
I suppose I'm crying because I'm frightened. Because I don't know what to do. I came to Dublin to be in the theater. But the play I came to do isn't going to be produced.
Do you want another play?
No. I want to go home.
Where is your home?
It's near London. But I haven't any money for the fare.
Yes, you have. You have it right in your hand. Look.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I'll return it as soon as I can. You're a good man. Oh, you're a good man, Jippo Nolan.
You're a good man, Jippo Nolan. You've an eye for an honest tear and a heart as big as all outdoors for anyone in need. But a man lies dead. It's 1:15. The hour of accounting is at hand.
Mulligan, Jippo Nolan accuses you of informing on Frankie McPhillip.
It's a lie. I swear on my knees I never left the house except to go to the chapel to say me prayers.
I saw him, I tell you. I saw him at the town headquarters at 6:30. The lying scut.
It's a lie, I tell you. A lie, a lie.
Sit down, both of you. Now then, Peter Mulligan, give this court an account of your whereabouts from noon today.
Well, at noon today I was lying in my bed. I had a bad pain in my right side from the bronchitis all the morning, and I had to stay in my bed with it. I got up about 1 because of a suit that had to be finished for Mike Foley, the carter.
What did you do then, Mulligan?
Well, I worked until about 6 o'clock. I remember here in the Angelus as I was going down the stairs. Then I ran down home and put on my overcoat and went out to the chapel.
How long did you stay there?
I stayed there till about 6:30. And then I stayed talking outside the door to Father Conroy for maybe about 10 minutes.
Did you talk to anybody else?
Yes. After I left Father Conroy, I met Barney Kerrigan, and he walked along home with me for a visit.
Then you couldn't have been anywhere near the TAN's headquarters around 6 o'clock.
No, no, sir. You can ask Kerrigan, Father Conroy.
Kerrigan, do you bear out this witness?
I don't need, sir.
You sure about the time?
Just about 6:30 it was, and I'm sure Father Conroy will bear him out, because I saw him talking to the father as I came along.
Thank you, Kerrigan. All right, Mulligan. We'll be taken home in the car that brought you here. Good night.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Good night.
Now then, Jippo, suppose you tell us what you did after meeting Frankie McPhillip.
It's a lie. I never met him.
He told his mother he met you and had asked you if there was a guard in the house. Is that true, Jippo? And if it isn't, why did you shout out at the wake that you warned him to stay away from the house?
I told him to stay away. I did tell him.
Why'd you tell all those lies about Mulligan? Were you drunk or what?
I must have been drunk.
Tell us what you did after meeting Frankie.
I'm all mixed up. I can't remember nothing.
Where'd you get all that money you spent?
I can make out nothing, I tell you.
You broke your first pound in Ryan's. The blind man on the corner said he gave you a pound. 2 more pounds you spent at Savaldi's for fish and chips. Another 2 pounds went for drinks. 5 pounds you gave to some woman. Another 4 you spent at Aunt Betty's pub. You have 5 in your pocket. That makes just 20 pounds.
Oh, my head is sore. I can't
Where
think.
Did you get that 20 pounds? Tell us.
I can't remember. I'm drunk, I tell you. I can't remember nothing.
Confess, man. He's your soul. Who's the informer?
I didn't know what I was doing. Can't you see what I mean? Is there no man here to tell him how I did it? My head is sore. I can't tell him. I can't tell him. I don't know why. I can't tell him. I can't tell him.
Lock him up.
Jippo Nolan stood in the small cell alone. Everywhere he turned, he saw accusing faces. Gallagher's, Mulholland's, Mulligan's. And everywhere he turned, he saw Frankie McPhillip.
It's me, Jippo, Frankie McPhillip. Don't you know that you can't think without me? It's always me that got you out of trouble. What are you going to do now, Jippo? What are you going to do now, Jippo?
Frankie! Frankie, help me! Tell me what to do! Help me, Frankie!
No, Jippo, I could help you, but I won't. Not until my mother forgives you. Not until my mother forgives you.
Frankie! Frankie!
Jippo climbed up on the window ledge, his eyes desperate and wild. His muscles bulged as he straightened his powerful legs under him and set the timbers of the ceiling to splintering and cracking. Then suddenly they gave way and he swung himself up through the hole and he was away with the voices of his pursuers shouting behind him. He ran for hours, always hearing the voices and the thudding feet of his pursuers. He ran until his heart choked him and his feet burned and cried for mercy. Gradually the voices grew closer and closer. He darted into the churchyard and ran for the church. And in the bright moonlight on the church steps,
oh,
the gun spoke. The giant still held himself erect, though the bullets were a singing pain and death inside him. He made a slow, painful way to the church, to the pew where Mrs. McPhillip knelt, praying for her dead son. He swallowed the blood in his mouth and spoke humbly.
"'Twas I informed on your son, Mrs. McPhillip. Forgive me."
"I forgive you, Gippo. You didn't know what you were doing."
"Thank you, Mrs. McPhillip. Thank you kindly. Frankie, your mother forgives me. Your mother forgives me."
He turned then and started out of the church to meet his pursuers, who were waiting silently at the back. But he fell before he reached them, at the foot of a statue of Christ. And in that manner, retribution was done in the name of Frankie McPhillip. And Gippo Nolan at last found certainty and peace. In tonight's play, Ed Begley appeared as Gippo. The cast also included Frank Lovejoy, William Smith, and James Monks. The Informer, an RKO radio motion picture, was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Charles Poole, and the entire production was directed by Mark Slow.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning. And use it at night to help you rate with every date. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Young lady, a question from Colgate tooth powder. How long is it since a young man asked you for a date? If it's been longer than a month and you can't put your finger on the reason, maybe it's time to suspect a little breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. It can ruin your romance, so don't take a chance. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder in 7 cases out of 10 instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder. Next week, your Colgate Tooth Powder Theater of Romance will bring you an outstanding production celebrating Independence Day. The Man Without a Country, starring John Hodiak. Join us next Tuesday, won't you?
Hello, everybody, hello. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair, so hello, everybody, halo.
Yes, use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair, for Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling film. The first time you use Halo, see how your hair sparkles and gleams with natural brilliance, how the deep, natural color looks brighter, glossier. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and dirt, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
So hello, everybody, hello. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Next Tuesday night, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance will bring you John Hodiak in The Man Without a Country, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.